Appointments. Don't you love them? We all have them. The dentist, the doctor, maybe your children's teachers. We make business appointments, social appointments. Students make appointments, call them dates. We all have appointments. We learn from experience that some people make appointments and have absolutely no intention of ever keeping those appointments. Others are always late for every appointment. And a few folks are early for appointments. Sometimes we cancel. Sometimes we reschedule. Sometimes we postpone. But my friend, God has made some appointments with each one of us. And you have no control over those appointments. You cannot cancel them. You cannot reschedule them. You cannot postpone them. You will not move them to another date. Because he has made an appointment with you and with me and with each one of us, and he has put those appointments into his divine appointment book, and they will be kept. Now, there are some other appointments that he has with us that we kind of waffle on every now and again. He has made an appointment with us, a recurring appointment, for every Lord's Day, that we would gather with God's people and we would worship him, celebrate him, and have conversation with him. Now, I know a lot of folks have decided that's an optional appointment in their lives and they've skipped out. Some folks figure that, you know, if they just make that appointment every once in a while, that's okay. But I want you to know that the Lord said that whenever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them. So he has a standing appointment. And friends, when we get together, he makes it. He doesn't miss. He also has appointments for us if we're his children, because he'd like to use us to minister to the needy around us, the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, those who need someone to minister to them in Jesus' name. Sometimes we keep those appointments. I'm afraid that too often we look at our own schedules and say, I don't have time, and we move past those appointments. But God has some appointments you're not going to miss. I want us to talk about those unavoidable appointments this morning. So if you brought a Bible with you, I want to invite you to take and turn to the letter to the Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to read a few verses that are, you're going to say, oh, I've heard this before. You have. Hebrews chapter 9, the writer of this letter is talking about what Christ did, the sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, the impact of that. But I want us to get into the back portion of this chapter and just look at about three or four verses together, read them, and then particularly focus in on one. And so if you've got your Bible open to Hebrews chapter 9, find verse 24. Once you've found that, if you can, will, I'm going to invite you to stand with me in honor of our Heavenly Father as we read together this morning from his inspired word. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, the writer says this: For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. Now to appear for us in God's presence, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you this morning for your word, and I just pray that you would add your blessing to it as we consider what it says, what it means, and how it speaks to us today. Father, open our hearts to hear. Give us ears. Give us an openness. And Father, above all, as you speak, as you guide, as you lead, I pray that you would give us an obedience to follow in your way. Father, we all have appointments with you. Appointments that will be kept. Help us today to understand that, to embrace that truth, and to prepare for those appointments. Now speak to our hearts the truth we need to hear, for we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Unavoidable appointments with God. There are all kinds of things we could talk about. But I want us this morning simply to focus on three appointments that God has made with every man, every woman, every boy, every girl throughout time. Now, two of these appointments, I'm going to say to you, are completely and totally inevitable, inescapable, and unavoidable. You can't get around them. We will keep these appointments with God on time. We can't postpone. We can't reschedule. Two of these appointments are mentioned in our text. The third is alluded to. And that appointment may appear at different times, and we may have different opportunities with it. Now, I just want us to focus in on this. I want you to get this with me, all right? If you've got your Bible, I want you to look at verse 27. Because this is the crux of the matter. Just as man is destined to die once, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, judgment. Let me share with you three unavoidable appointments that you have with God. The first appointment is our appointment with God at Calvary. He said, wait a minute, Calvary's not in here. Are you kidding me? Did you not listen to the word of God? Did you not hear what it said? So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's Calvary, my friends. That's where Jesus went and paid the price for the sins of many. The most important meeting that we have with God is that meeting at Calvary. Last week, I shared with you about those things that are written in God's book, and the most important thing that can be written there is our name. It's when we meet him at Calvary that we have the opportunity to have our name written into the Lamb's book of life. It's when we come to Calvary and we begin to look and see the Savior hanging upon a cross that we understand that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. You see, Calvary is the place, it's the meeting where we prepare for eternity. So many people think this life is all there is. They're going to live life, they're going to die, they're going to cease to exist. Man, are they in for a big surprise. They're going to die, all right, because it's appointed unto men once to die. We are destined to die. But I want to tell you something. After they die, they are going to wake up and find themselves more alive than they have ever been. And it's never going to end. Calvary is an important place in history. Personal history and world history. Divine history. It's an important meeting place. You see, at Calvary, my awful, vile, evil, sinful nature is displayed. You say, well, how is that? My friends, the horrible death that Jesus died was not because he deserved it. He had no sin. He died that terrible death because of my sin. You can claim it too if you'd like, but it's mine. It's ours. He had no sin in his own life, but he took our sin upon himself when he went to the cross. He died a substitutionary death for the penalty of my sin because I couldn't pay for it. I couldn't appease the justice and the holiness of God. I could not satisfy his righteousness because my sin was too great, too grave, too deep, and too much. Whenever we recognize that fact, it makes us stop ignoring or hiding or trying to explain away or treat lightly the reality of sin in our lives. We come to understand that God has appointed that we would meet him at Calvary. Listen, he wants everyone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants everyone to know that there is salvation in no other name. He wants everyone to come to the place of repentance so that none would perish. You say, how do you know God wants that? Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 21. You're familiar with it. He says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, friends, what we see at Calvary is heart-wrenching. It ought to be gut-wrenching. It ought to be sickening to us. When we come to Calvary, we see the results of our sin. We come and we meet God. Our eyes are drawn. We cannot help but look upon the cross and the horrible death that's being taking place there. And you say, well, why would God do that? Would you say, why would God do that? A few of you mumbled for me. That's good enough. Romans 5:8, Paul said, God reveals his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God allowed Jesus to die publicly in that fashion because he wanted us to see and to know that he loved us so much he was willing to pay that price. Friends, listen to me. Somebody has to pay. When you do a crime, you're going to do the time. You say, well, no, I got away with it. Somebody's going to pay. Someone pays. Even when a criminal is uncaught, someone pays a price. There is always a price attached to sin. Always. In fact, you can go back and look in the Old Testament. This is not just a New Testament principle. The prophet Ezekiel said, the soul who sins is the one who will die. There is punishment attached to sin. On the cross, Jesus took my sin. He stepped into my place and he paid the penalty. God has made an appointment to meet us at Calvary. Now, I know there are always, every Sunday when we come together, there are skeptics. There are always the people who are saying, well, I'm going to nitpick this preacher's sermon. I'm going to find out what he says that I can debate, that I can prove to him he's wrong. And probably that person, whoever they might be, or persons in this room have already locked down on this and said, okay, but what about those people who never hear about Jesus? What about those people who never hear that Jesus died for this sin? Nobody ever tells them what happened at Calvary. They never make that meeting. Romans 1:20. Paul has put some marvelous words here before us, and I just want you to hear them. If you've never heard them before, you need to hear them. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly understood. Being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. Listen, I think it's God's desire that everyone would hear the name of Jesus. that everyone would hear a presentation of the gospel that made perfect sense to them so that they could see their sinfulness, understand the Savior, and be drawn to salvation. But I also know that it ain't happening at this point in time. I pray that it will in the future. But my friend, if it does not, those who have never heard still can see from what is around them that God is real, that He is a loving and good and creative and gracious God, and their faith in Him can be their salvation. Say, well, wait a minute, I disagree with that. Okay. Disagree. But before you get too vocal about it, go home this afternoon and read Hebrews chapter 11. And read about all those people of faith in the Old Testament who did not hear the name of Jesus, did not hear a presentation of the gospel, but God's word says their righteousness, or their faith, was counted unto them as righteousness. Listen, I just want you to understand something. We can sit and debate that fine point of theology all day long, but here's the truth. You're here. You're here. God has an appointment with you at Calvary. It may be that today is the day for that appointment. Maybe today He wants you to look inside and see your sin. Maybe today He wants you to look and see and realize that Jesus went to the cross not just so we could have a story in a book, but rather that so that you could have a Savior in your heart. Would you make that appointment? The first appointment that God has with each of us is a meeting at Calvary. Our second appointment is our appointment with God in death. I know whenever we start talking about this, it gets a little uncomfortable. It's appointed unto man wants to die. We're destined to die. It's uncomfortable because some people are still dealing with death in their families. It's touched close to their lives. It's uncomfortable. I understand that. But can I just tell you something I've come to realize? I'm not making fun at all. I think it is tragic. But most of us react to death as if we have some horrible allergy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we belong to the Lord Jesus, we have nothing to fear in death. Death is a defeated enemy. He has been overcome. We don't have to fear death because death is simply an entrance way into eternal life for us. But you look around and here's what you see. People do everything in their power to avoid death and they fail. Some work to maintain their health, to postpone the inevitable ending that's coming. And some think that if they get enough wealth or if they gain enough power, they can skip that appointment. Some believe that if they're religious or they do enough good stuff, God will allow them to skip that appointment. I just simply have one word for you. No! No! Nothing we can do will allow us to skip this appointment. Only God Himself can call us out of this world without experiencing death. My friends, please hear me this morning. I understand the time is uncertain, but all of us are going to meet God at the time of our death. You say, well, what if He calls us out of here? We don't die. Still going to meet Him. I know we've got a couple of Old Testament figures we can call back on. We can look at the prophet. We can go backwards. We can look at Enoch. We can say, well, they didn't die. No, they didn't, but they met God, didn't they? So, well, what happens? There's going to come a day. We know because God's word tells us there's coming a time when there's going to be a shout and there's going to be a trumpet blast. The sky's going to roll back and He's going to come and He's going to call His bride home. And those of us who are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with Him in the air. We're not going to die. No, but we're still going to meet Him, aren't we? Yeah. You see, God is the only one who can keep us from having to experience this appointment with death. But here's the reality for most of us. It's coming. It's coming. Don't know how, don't know where, don't know when, but it's coming. Maybe in a hospital room, maybe in your home. Maybe in a car crash, could be in the blast of a bomb. But it'll come. And nothing you can say or do will change that. Nothing. You know why? Because man is destined, appointed to die. Well, why does it have to be like that? Because the wages of sin is death. And we're all sinners. Well, not me. I'm a pretty good person. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No exceptions. All right? We're destined to die, which leads us to our third appointment. And that is our appointment with God in judgment. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Death comes, and after that, there's an appointment that none of us will miss. Man does not die and march off into oblivion through that doorway of death. Now, God's word tells us that to be present in this body is to be absent from the Lord, but to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We will face Him. And when we go into eternity, my friends, we will give an accounting of our lives, the lives that we have lived. Scripture teaches that from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Romans 2:2 says that God's judgment against those who do such things, he's talking about their sin, is based on, get this word, truth. His judgment against our sin is based on truth. Now, I want you to think about that for a second, because here's the reality I've come to understand. Most people fear truth about as much as anything. Truth means nothing is hidden. Truth means that we knew what was right and we chose to do what was wrong. Truth means that when God passes judgment, He will be right because we will be guilty, and God's judgment will be to each person according to what he or she has done. Everything is remembered, everything is recorded, and on judgment day, everyone will face their complete record. Truth will be the measurement on that day. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing any different. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one who told his friends, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We are going to be measured according to the standard of Jesus. Oh, but remember what else he said. No one comes to the Father except through him. My friend, when you stand there on that day, can I just tell you something? Don't even, I say this especially to the students because I hear this so much from young people all the time. I'm going to pick on y'all for a minute. Can I do that? Yeah. Okay. Do not even think about looking at God and saying, "Well, that's not fair." Truth is always fair. Truth is always right. And since God judges based on truth, you need to understand this. You need to get this. Romans 2:11. God does not show favoritism. What that means is everything he does is and will be fair. There are going to be two places of judgment. According to Revelation, there's going to be a great white throne judgment. A place where those who have rejected God, rejected Christ, rejected his claims upon their life, they are going to stand before him, give their accounting. But my friend, it really doesn't matter. They are already condemned. They stand before the judge condemned the moment that they walk into his courtroom. The other place is the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where all the redeemed of all the ages will gather to give an accounting of their lives, their work, their service, their words, their attitudes. But those who are there have already been bought. They've already been redeemed. They've already been paid for in full by Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. On that day when you stand before one throne or the other, I just want you to understand, skin color has nothing to do with it. Politics have nothing to do with it. Ethnicity has nothing to do with it. Nationality has nothing to do with it. The language that you speak will have nothing to do with it. None of that will matter. The amount of power that you had on this earth will not matter. The wealth that you may have accumulated will mean nothing. Whatever positions you may have gained will be for naught. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth, the divine truth of the Word of God will be the standard by which every person, young, old, male, female, will be judged. And I want you to hear me clearly this morning, my friend. If you haven't heard anything else, I want you to hear this. Your appointment, your date, is already written in God's book. Your judge is appointed. That appointment will not be changed. You will be there when your name is called. Perhaps today is a time for your first appointment. Maybe you're looking inside yourself right now and you're saying, man, I'm not sure about this. I don't know if I'm ready for this. Well, you can be. Today, you can meet him at Calvary. You can open your heart and reveal all the sin that's there, and you're going to find a Savior who died there for you. And my friend, if you'll repent and turn from that sin, confess it to him and say, I'm done with that. I don't want any of that anymore. I just want Jesus. Give me Jesus. That's all I need. My friend, today he'll make you a new creation. He'll wash that sin away. He'll make you a new man, woman, boy, girl. You can come in faith to the cross in repentance and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The question is, will you receive the gift he offers? Forgiveness, cleansing, new life, hope for today, and certainty for tomorrow. If you've been to Calvary and you've made that decision, praise God for it. If you haven't, I want you to know that today you can make that decision. And by so doing, you prepare yourselves for the next two inevitable, unavoidable, inescapable appointments with God in death and judgment. It'll change how you live life. But I promise you this, it'll also change how you view death. Have you been to Calvary? Have you met Jesus? If you have, praise him for it. If you haven't, why not today? Why not today? Let's bow our heads together. In just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing a song of invitation. We're going to have a time of commitment. I just don't feel like I can share with you what I've shared with you and not give you an opportunity to respond to it. It may be that you're here this morning and maybe your name's on the church roll or Sunday school book and you've been playing a game for years and years, but you know deep down in your heart this morning that you are lost, that you have never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ. You've never made him Savior and Lord in your life. And today, maybe for the first time, the awareness is just screaming at you. One day I'm going to die. One day I'm going to stand before my judge. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? My friend, don't wait till then. It's too late. But I'll tell you what you can say and do today. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I confess to you all of the filth, the sin, the degradation in my life. I want you to take it and wash it away and make it like it never was. And help me to turn away from that sin and pursue you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might, with all of my strength. Make me a new creation today. And my friend, he'll do it. I've had people say to me, preacher, are you certain? Yes, I'm certain. God's word says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll do it. But you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've gotten involved in. You don't know the things I've done or the people I've impacted. Doesn't matter. It's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Would you come? Is he calling? My friend, listen, if you want to, I want you to understand something. Your want to is not from you. It's not from me. It's from the Spirit of God drawing you right now. Don't push him aside and don't put him off. Are you ready? Maybe today is your day to get ready. Father, I thank you for your word. A word of warning, a word of challenge, a word that calls for change. Father, I look across this room and I see the faces of people, and some of them deep in thought, some of them smiling. They're confident, they're sure, they know. I see the faces of those who won't look up at me. The doubt, the fear, the wondering. But Father, you know every heart. You know their condition. You know those that are yours and those who are not, those who you're calling and those who are listening. Father, I pray right now that even as we've heard what your word has to say, we would hear the voice of your Spirit. And Father, if there's one here or more who need on this day to hear your voice and say, this is the day of salvation, Father, I pray for them. Convict of sin. Convince them of the Savior. Draw them to yourself and make them a new creation. Father, for my brothers and sisters, may we be reminded. May we be reminded by your Spirit every day that we have a ministry of sharing the gospel wherever we go. Now, Father, as you speak, may we listen. May we hear your direction and respond in obedience. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.